Hello and welcome to the D1 Softball Podcast. I'm your host, Tara Henry, joined by Rhiannon Potke. We are heading into week 5 of play. Rhi, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing good. It's starting to feel a little bit more like softball weather, more widespread. The temperatures aren't quite as cool, at least in my neck of the woods. I know they never were really with you, but feeling good. I feel like, you know, we've had some really great games, interesting results, and I just feel like daylight savings is coming. We're going to get more light. Things are, you know, hopefully coming into a better state of things in every society, especially softball.
Just kind of hitting our stride in terms of, well, I can't believe we're in week 5. It means we've been doing this a month already. I can't believe we're already here, to be honest, but we're in it. We're in week 5, and week 4, we saw a few upsets, a few first losses. We had Bama. They lost to South Alabama by a great pitching performance. Rhi, what do you got on that Bama game?
Yeah, Olivia Lackey, the freshman from South Alabama, was just really, really great performance, especially in that environment. I know Rhodes Stadium wasn't packed to the gills like it normally is, but it's still an intimidating place to play, especially for a freshman. And she had that rise ball working and, you know, just kept Alabama off, you know, off balance all game. And Montana Fouts threw a heck of a game too, but they, you know, South Alabama just scored the one run they needed, you know, and they scored an insurance run. So that's enough. And it was a great game. I really enjoyed it. I loved watching it, and they won it. They didn't lose it. Like, Alabama didn't lose it. South Alabama won it. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, obviously the offense, but Olivia was great. She really pitched well. So that was a fun one to watch.
Yeah, and I think the Alabama fans are a bit salty on Twitter after the loss. And just, we've got to remember that we're in March right now. So if you're an Alabama Crimson Tide fan, I think you're okay that you're losing this early. And I think it's a bit of a wake-up call as well for Alabama. And they'll go back to the drawing boards and get back at it and prepare for their big weekend series that we'll talk about a little bit later in the show. We had first losses with Florida, Arizona, and Texas, their first losses of the season. Rhi, what do you got on those three squads?
Yeah, well, Texas, obviously, that was a great three-game series with LSU. Really, really fun. Love seeing that this early in the season. I mean, you know, give credit to LSU. I think they've played like 10 games against ranked teams. So they really, you know, as opposed to some that haven't played hardly any, but that was a great series. Arizona, that was a Monday, a rare Monday matchup that we love against UCF, and Gianna Manca talking about another great pitching performance. A key spot, runner on first, and Jesse Harper up to bat and got her to hit into a double play, which that was pretty much, I mean, I know it was the sixth inning, but that was still, to me, just a turning point. That's when they knew, okay, we got out of that. That could have been the turning point right there. So great job by Gianna Manca. I think a lot of people thought Aaliyah White might pitch, but she threw Manca, which Cindy Ball Malone, Coach Bear, as they call her at UCF. Great decision, great confidence. And they were coming off a loss too. They rolled into that game off a loss that I don't think people maybe expected as much. So just a really good performance by UCF. And so that was a good one. And of course we talked about the Bama losing to South Alabama. And about those Bama fans, I mean, you got to give credit to another team sometimes too. Sometimes the other team wins. I mean, I know you think that you should hit every ball out of the park, but sometimes you just got to tip your cap to a really good pitcher on a really good day, especially in this sport.
Yeah, and Florida dropped one game to FSU, but Hightower came back. And Hightower was our player of the week for Florida.
Yeah, she was the opening game. They won the opener and lost the second game.
Yeah, and so Hightower, she was our pitcher of the week on D1 softball schedule. I know we've talked a little bit about this, but I think it's really important for the softball fans to understand that you've got some teams that are undefeated that haven't necessarily played a ranked team yet. And you've got ranked teams that have played a whole slew of ranked games. So as we get into conference, I think it's going to start to settle out, but what are your thoughts on this, Rhi?
Yeah, I'm really glad to see it's going to be, with conference play getting more widespread now starting and evening out, we're really going to get to see exactly where teams stand. COVID obviously has softened a lot of schedules because we had the big two tournaments, Mary Nutter, and then down in Florida, you know, we had two of the biggest tournaments canceled where a lot of those teams would normally be playing some ranked teams early. we've had teams that haven't played a played no Power Five teams, or maybe one out of 17 to 19 games. And that's nothing, it's not that they're ducking opponents. It's just the way it came about because COVID forced re-scrambling of schedules. So there's a lot of stats that some of these teams are great and they're going to pile up stats anyways, but some of these stats are crazy piling up because they've played really, really weak teams. And that takes nothing against the opponent, but that's just the way it is with restrictions with COVID and events being canceled. Teams had to scramble to schedule teams. And, you know, they know that they're, it's, I think, so you kind of take it with a grain of salt right now, right? You kind of like, okay, let's see what they do against better pitching, more scouting. Conference play kind of provides that. So I'm excited to see kind of what we have with some of these teams. I still think they have, you know, really potent lineups, great pitching, but we have to give that little like caveat that they haven't really played a juggernaut for sure. So we have to keep that in mind when we, and it's going to skew a lot of these record books, unfortunately. So it's all these, you know, but we've seen that with every sport in the COVID year. So we just kind of, you know, everyone's just going to have a little asterisk in their mind about the 2020, 2021 college season.
Yeah, it's definitely been different. I think it's almost one or the other. You've got, you know, huge blowouts, or you've got these close one run games or pitching duels. So we don't really have that mid-range back and forth kind of going on. But in terms of back and forth, we had a few walk-offs actually this past week, not one, but two, but three. I mean, I don't know. I feel like I can't even count anymore. Starting with Falelua out of Mississippi State. Are you kidding me with number one, that swing, and number two, the bat flip, number three, the strut? I mean, I don't know. I know there's people on Twitter that are like, oh my gosh, bad sportsman. Are you kidding me? If you hit a walk-off, in my opinion, you could do whatever you like if you want to run around the bases. I don't know how you feel about Reed, but that's how I feel about it.
No, if it's genuine emotion and you're not like pointing at the pitcher and like taunting the other dugout, which he didn't do, it's fine. It's emotion. It's great. You know, it's fun. I mean, I understand both sides of it. I totally get it, you know, but it's one thing if you're rubbing it in, which he wasn't doing. That's a thing. That's pure emotion. It's actually some family story behind that. That's pretty cool. So I'm fine with that. Like some of them I can be like, okay, you could have probably been, but that hers was nothing like that. So just pure excitement and pumping up her team. So yeah, that's fine with that. And you know, if it motivates the other team, it motivates the other team. I mean, that's great. They can take it. You know what? The thing is, teams will find anything for bulletin board now. You don't have to, I mean, you can literally like bow to the pitcher and the pitcher will be like, look, you're disrespecting me by bowing. So do what you want, have fun. It's especially this year with all that we've gone through to get here, you know, do what you want. She's a great player. And those were mammoth walk-offs too. Wow.
Yeah, and the video crews and some of these media teams, we know we gave a shout out to ASU a couple weeks ago, but even the Mississippi State media team, for them to capture that, just, it's great for our sport. I know that some people don't like it, some people do like it, but I love that she's in the cooker and she can get it done and get it done for her team. But it wasn't just Falelua that had the walk-off. We also had another walk-off, not one, but two again with Sam Russ. And Reed, tell me a little bit about Sam, and we got a special surprise with Sam as well.
Yeah, well, can you imagine that you don't just hit one walk-off, you hit two in consecutive days, which is what both those girls did, which is amazing. Yeah, Sam, NC State, beat Georgia Tech in bottom of the seventh. She comes up to bat, walk-off. Next day, same situation, walk-off. Just crazy. I mean, and it, we were like, okay, like when, and I think we won't name names, but someone texted like, went like, we were trying to determine our player of the week. And like, when do you ever hit back-to-back walk-offs? I'm like, well, it actually happened twice this weekend. And that's how crazy it is. So it's pretty amazing. But Sam at NC State, great kid. And she just happens to be one of our guests on the players only segment of the podcast. And that was her third walk-off of the season. And NC State's had only three walk-off home runs, and Miss Sam Russ, the queen of walk-offs, has hit all three. So she is in our players only segment coming up, and she's going to give us some insight into exactly how she did it.
Oh, amazing. So heading up next is that players only segment with Sam Russ and Megan Bobian from Michigan.
Hello, I am Rhiannon Potke, and welcome to D1 Softball's Players Only segment of our podcast. These weekly episodes feature a rotating group of players from around the country to give you an inside look at all the action through their perspective. They'll take us on the field, in the dugout, and in the classroom. And I'm very excited today because joining us for episode number 5, we have Michigan senior pitcher Megan Bobian and North Carolina State registered junior Sam Russ. Bobian is 2-1 with a 0.67 ERA, 41 strikeouts, and only 2 walks in 21 innings pitched, as the Wolverines are playing a Big Ten-only schedule. So that's against legit competition, Big Ten. No stat stuffing yet with that. You guys are preparing. Michigan's preparing to head back down to Florida this weekend to do Big Ten. You took a break. You took a weekend off, and now you're doing Big Ten competition again. You've got 3-game series against Nebraska and against Wisconsin back-to-back down there in Florida, so you guys can soak up the sun and not have to play in the cold weather of the Midwest anywhere. But that's the last time you'll be in Florida before you transition back to playing on the regular Big Ten campuses. Russ is batting .367, 5 home runs, 12 RBIs, and 17 runs scored. Over the weekend, she did something that some people don't even do once in their life, and she did it twice in back-to-back days by hitting walk-off home runs in victories over Georgia Tech in ACC action. North Carolina native was named D1 Softball's Player of the Week. Thank you. And ACC Player of the Week. So they were on the same, not really a hard one for anyone in that realm. So thank you both for joining us. We really appreciate it. I know you're both coming off practice right off the field. So thanks for making the time. So Sam, we'll start with you. We talked about those walk-offs. How did it feel to hit walk-offs in back-to-back days? I mean, it's been 2 days now. Have you been able to kind of just reflect back on it and think like what that felt like in the moment, and kind of how, have you ever done that before in your career? Just kind of walk us through the feelings of doing that.
It was, after having a couple days to reflect, it was amazing. I actually, our very first weekend of play against Boston College, I hit my first walk-off home run, and that was a surreal feeling. I didn't think, you know, might not ever come again. And to have my team kind of have my back and get me into the chance to have that opportunity again this weekend, not once but twice, was an absolutely amazing feeling. So it was amazing for them to have my back and rally in the 7th inning to get me in that position. And I love the feeling of being in it and having the chance to win it for my team, and I'm happy that I was able to come through and pull that one out for them.
When you walked to the plate that second game, and you knew, I mean, I assume, you know, okay, we're down, like we need to, this could be it. Were you thinking that, like, I can do this again, like I have a chance? Or would you just try to be like, okay, some people say no, just I try to hit a single up the middle so we can move the runners over. But were you thinking like, okay, this is possible, this could happen?
It was definitely going through my mind. I was going for it up there, and they kind of, it was an interesting at bat. I got 3 pitches just nowhere near the zone, so I wasn't quite sure if they were actually gonna give me the chance to walk the game off. And then on that 3-0 count, when she came in with a ball over the plate, I was like, okay, they're throwing to me. So I was ready for, in the 3-1 count, to take a pitch far. So,
and that's, gotta respect
that's
a pitcher.
What I did.
Yeah, I gotta respect a pitcher throwing you. I don't know, I might just threw up the four fingers and been like, put her on base. Speaking of pitching, Megan, you guys are you're heading back, like we said, you're heading back down to Florida. This will be the second time that you guys have made that trip down there with the Big Ten going conference only. How did that first time go, and what kind of stuck out to you about that experience that you'll use this next time you're heading down there?
I think it was definitely a different start to the season, the Big Ten being conference only and starting later than most of the schools in the country. So it's definitely been different. But I think the biggest thing that I went down there with was thinking about how much I just missed playing softball, and our whole team just missed competing and missed playing against other schools, and instead of scrimmaging our own players day in and day out. And I think everyone was just really excited to get back on the field, and we took a lot from that weekend. Like, there's a lot, there's things that we did really well, and there's definitely things that we took back here and we decided that we needed to work on. And in that sense, it's almost been nice that we had a weekend off. So we really took the time and we've worked on a lot the past couple of weeks. So I'm excited to see us put that into play this weekend.
Was it hard at the beginning when you saw, like, you know, you guys started a little bit later than other teams? Was it tough to watch some of those games on TV, or did you just try to avoid it when other teams were kind of starting their season before you guys?
I watched because I feel like I can't not watch good softball if it's on TV. But yeah, I was sitting there watching in my house in Ann Arbor thinking, man, I wish I was on the field right now.
I can only imagine. I'm sitting here and I'm, you know, now 40 and I'm like, I want to be out there playing. I just need, the good thing is, man, we got so many now streaming. When I played, there was like no games anywhere. Like you, like literally it was like a camcorder some dad was holding on his shoulder and then they'd send you the VHS tape or something. So it's really cool that we have all these options now, and we get to see walk-offs and strikeout numbers and everything, you know, on ESPN and highlighted. So that's the cool thing about softball now. You know, the good thing about today's podcast too is we've got the two perspectives. We've got, you know, the really great hitter and the really, really great pitcher. So I'd love to kind of delve into that more. Just to take us kind of inside, Megan, with you, when you were preparing for especially when conference play comes and you had the same opponent for three games or four games, however long the series goes this season for different conferences, what do you do to scout opponents? How do you kind of take us through that breakdown of how you prepare for each team and maybe what the coaching staff and you go over, even just as much as video watching or looking at whatever you do leading up to that week? How do you prepare when you're facing one team that you know?
So the way it works for the pitchers is the coaches, Jen Brundage, actually does most of the scouting of the other team's hitters. And they want us more to focus on like our own video and what we are doing and focus on making ourselves ready to go and throw our game, because ultimately we still have to throw to our strengths, like regardless of who we're playing and how good they are at hitting X pitch. But she definitely gets really into that, and we'll talk about it and we'll discuss it. And especially in between innings, I think it's very fluid, like what kind of strategy we're using. And especially over the course of a three-game weekend, or this year, you know, a four-game series, in between innings and in between games, just making sure we're on the same page, communicating about what pitches are working, what they're swinging at, and being able to make the adjustments to continue to keep people off balance for four games is going to be really key.
Sam, take us through what you do from a hitting perspective. You know, staffs are bigger than they've ever been for some teams now. Sometimes you got to, you know, kind of study 8 or 9 different pitchers. But what do you do? Do you even pay attention to the pitchers? How do you study each weekend when you're facing a different opponent?
I think it's a little different for each weekend, but I think it adds a new element this year with a 4-game series, because a lot of teams that have especially a significant ace or a 1-2 kind of punch of pitchers, you're going to be seeing them 2, possibly 3 times a weekend. So I actually will watch them play other teams, and I kind of previously in weeks, especially ACC opponents, and I'll kind of look for hitters that are similar to myself and kind of see how they are thrown. And then I'll prepare that way. But then I also, being a 4-game series, you have to make game-to-game adjustments. So if you have a day where you crush outside pitching, you got to think about, okay, I'm probably not going to be seeing that pitch in the coming days. Or if you struggle with a certain pitch, they're probably going to go back to that. And just kind of continue to, you know, each pitcher's different. Be ready for what their best pitch is. You're probably going to see that heavy, kind of as Megan said. So it's really just game-to-game adjustments. But I do also like watching them play, especially other ACC schools.
Yeah, you guys both seem like ones that like to watch softball, which is, you know, it's funny. It's not always the case. I've interviewed a lot of from different sports. Like, oh, I don't ever watch when I'm not playing. And that's just like my jaw drops. Like, how do you not like? But some people just don't. So it's kind of cool to see. Do you guys, when you guys were growing up, did you have a team or a pitcher that you really watched more than others, or that you really tried to model your game after?
I mean, I grew up a Michigan fan, so I definitely grew up watching them play, or like I've been to some super regionals when I was younger in Ann Arbor. So that was really cool. And I think I really liked Kat Osterman when I was younger because she was left-handed and she was so good. And I'm not very similar to her as a pitcher, but that's, I had like her purple glove and stuff. So that's definitely somebody I looked up to.
And she, we're taping this on Tuesday. She just threw a shout out this morning against Team Mexico. So she's still pitching, which is really crazy and great for all of us that out of retirement and then probably back in, hopefully not long after the Olympics and Athletes Unlimited, but that's really amazing. How about you, Sam? Who was someone or some hitters or even, you know, fielders that you really watched or admired when you were growing up?
My hands down absolute favorite was Haley McClenney. I loved her game. I loved watching her kind of transform from slapping and hitting to just full-time being an absolute power hitter. It's kind of what I've tried to mimic some of my game off of, going from slapping from my freshman year to hitting now. So absolutely loved her, and her defense in center field is mind-blowing, of course.
Yeah, that philosophy that your team has, I mean, I can't imagine. I know that they emphasize, you know, go big or go home. It's like home run swings every time. Was that something that you had coming in as a slapper, or someone, did you have to adjust that, or how do you like that philosophy, and what is the team? They seem to really, you know, thrive off of it.
Yeah. So I actually, I mostly hit in high school. It was kind of my freshman year under a different coaching staff is when I ended up turning into more, a little bit of hitting, but a lot of slapping. So I was thrilled to hear that, because I love hitting. I love hitting the ball as hard as I can. And I was thrilled to hear that their mindset is to go up there and try to swing for the fence.
Yeah, I love it, because a lot of coaches are playing, no, we just try to like make solid contact. And but your coach is like, now we're swinging for the fences, man. We're trying to hit home runs all the time.
Yes. Yes, they are.
That's it's refreshing, because you know that some players really are thinking that, and they just say, I'm just trying to make solid contact. Mm-hmm. Just that's Megan, if you were to face a team, you know, like that, have you what do you have any like tactics that you would use if you have a team with that aggressive of a style, or anything that you might do to kind of counteract that?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of depends on how disciplined they are. Like some teams kind of think, okay, I'm going to come up and try and hit this ball over the fence, and are swinging out of their shoes at anything and everything. So like in that case, obviously, like not really going to give them much to hit if they're just taking those big hacks. But it gets more fun when they're disciplined but also are really going for it. You know, that's when it's just a really good competition, and it becomes more, I guess, more analytical on my end. I'm very analytical. I like to think about pitch calling. I like to think about strategies. And that's when it comes down to just my mindset is really just going to be execute this one pitch and then execute this next pitch until I get outs.
Where do you think you've grown, Megan, in your time in Michigan the most as an athlete, as a person? Just where do you think you've made the most growth?
Wow, I feel like a completely different person than I was when I stepped on campus, but I feel like I've matured a lot as an athlete and in the circle, especially with my mental game and the way I can just kind of manage everything around me. Like I started as a freshman and I think like I had a good season, but it was definitely a little overwhelming at times. And I think now I'm just able to step into situations, and no matter what the situation is, I can have a good approach to it. And I can step in with the bases loaded and no outs or like a 3-0 count and just go at and attack hitters, and I've learned to trust my preparation and trust what I've worked on. And I think that's been one of the biggest things for me in terms of having confidence. And I'm sure Sam would agree, and every softball player would agree, being able to have confidence, whether you're in the circle or you're stepping up to the plate, is a huge key factor in having success.
Yeah, Sam, where have you grown? Is that some of the same stuff in terms of obviously not pitching wise, but, you know, just that confidence and maturity over the years?
Yeah, I'd say absolutely, especially the mental aspect of everything. You know, college softball can be a lot of pressure on young freshmen, and just growing throughout the years. And then also, especially for me, the physical side of it, you know, pushing yourself in the weight room, getting stronger, and then just in the box, understanding the mechanics of hitting, that you don't have to be the biggest, strongest person out there to put the ball over the fence. Like it's about the mechanics, barrel speed, just getting on plane. And with a pitcher providing power, you can hit the ball just as far, just as hard as anyone else, even if they're bigger than you are.
It's great, man. You guys are really, I love how you delve deeply into the game. It's fun. Let's take a little bit beyond, you know, outside of the softball realm, and maybe some of you will stay inside the softball realm when I ask this question, but Megan, your aspirations beyond softball for you, what do you think you may want to do with the rest of your life? You know, once softball's over, I even if you still continue for a few more years, but what are your bigger picture plans?
So big picture, I guess I don't have like a dream area to live or anything like that, but career wise, my major is biomedical engineering. So I guess I want to work like in industry for some kind of medical device company or something along those lines and work on development of those kinds of products. It's something I'm really passionate about. Like I'm really into it. If you're with me at practice, I talk about my projects and stuff all the time. So I love softball and I have no plans of tossing it out the window anytime soon, but I am genuinely really excited for moving into my career when that time comes.
What are some of those projects? That is like, you know, I mean, you obviously picked the easiest major on campus. My goodness, medical engineer as an athlete. But what are some of those projects you're really passionate about? We'd love to hear them. That's awesome.
Oh man. There's just some really cool stuff. Like last semester I had a bioinstrumentation lab, and you know, when you're in the hospital and you have the pulse oximeter clip on your finger, I made one of those in lab. Like I did all the circuitry and my team worked on the software and stuff. So that was really cool. Like it's fun to say, hey, I made this and I tested it and it works almost just as good as the commercial one. And last year I did I had a team semester long project where we designed basically a new kind of hip implant. And the idea was that it would kind of like elute this drug that would promote growth with the bone, which I don't want to get into all the technical stuff, but it's stuff I'm super interested in. And I guess you can kind of tell, like, if I start talking about it, I can go on about it for a really long time.
That's amazing. I love it. I love to hear that. If you're that passionate about it, then I'm glad you're going into it, because then you'll never feel like you're working. You'll feel like you love you found the right path if you're that excited talking about what you're going to do. That's really cool. You'll probably be working on, you know, my old hip someday when I need like that replacement. I'll be like, Megan, you got to hook me up with the new hip.
That's what Hutch says.
All my catching days are catching up with me. You need to hook me up. How about you, Sam? What are your aspirations beyond softball?
So I am double majoring in human biology and business finance. So they're kind of opposite ends of the spectrum. I was really interested in the healthcare field. So those projects you were talking about sounded really, really cool. But I'm interested in doing some grad work in health administration. So kind of finding ways to combine healthcare with like the finance side of things. And because I love numbers, I love math, and I also love the healthcare field. So just kind of new ways to combine those two fields together.
Now you guys need to stay in contact, because I think you guys could like work together and have like open a clinic where you could be like, I didn't even know this, to be honest. Like it's kind of just randomly paired, and awesome that you guys have connections on so many levels. That's really cool. I know you guys got to get, you know, you got to get some rest and get fuel soon. So we're going to end. We always end with kind of a fun bonus question. This one, I know this is a big, and it's maybe not as, you know, sometimes you're playing doubleheaders now most of the time, you know, but in terms of the best in like between game snack, what is for softball the best between game snack? Let's start with you, Sam.
I'm a big fan of the Sting Energy Chews. They're like, they taste like fruit snack gummies, but they apparently give you that boost to keep going for the next couple hours. And they have good flavors, orange blossom being my favorite.
Does your team have, I mean, is there other go-to snacks that your team enjoys? Like people?
A lot of the girls like peanut butter and jellies. I'm personally not a peanut butter person. So that, yes, I know, but that is not my forte. There's fruit snacks, Goldfish, pretzels, just kind of a lot of protein bars, energy, core powers, those kind of things.
So key in softball is the between game snacks. How about you, Megan? I mean, you know, sometimes I don't know if Megan, you're pitching back to back too often, but you know, what's the between game snack for you and for your teammates?
My teammates are huge fans of the Smucker's like Uncrustable PB&Js. I'm kind of the opposite of Sam. I'm not a jelly person, so I'm not into those. I do like the fruit snacks. I've been bringing like the Gatorade brand, like the protein recovery shakes that also have a lot of like good carbohydrates in them and stuff. So both the protein and like the refueling for the next game. Lots of Clif bars. I'm not someone who can eat like a full meal in between games. I don't really have the stomach for it. So definitely loading up on the snacks.
You guys are healthy snackers. I like to hear that. Probably is a result of why you have such great stats. You're just really like conscientious and you're health, you know, oriented with your major. So this all works together. Well, this has been amazing. You guys have been great. It's been really fun. I think we could make this an hour pod delving into your minds on everything softball and otherwise, but we're going to cut it short so you guys can go study and do all that medical studying, which seems like that would be a lot. So I feel like I'm guilty for keeping you this long, but we'll have you back for sure. You guys are definitely welcome to come back. And I think we will be having you back, you know, because your success already, and I'm sure there's more to come. So thank you for joining us today. And I want to tell everyone out there listening to make sure you download and subscribe to the D1 Softball Podcast. Anywhere you get your podcast, it allows us to have more guests, like great ones like this, back on the show. If you can rate and review, share it with friends. Also make sure to subscribe to our website, d1softball.com, for all the great articles where we'll write about players like Megan and Sam frequently. So once again, you two, it was a great conversation. We really thank you, and good luck this weekend in the upcoming games and the upcoming season.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great to hear from both Megan and Sam. What amazing human beings, not only in the softball side, but excited to see what they do in the real world after they leave the softball field.
Oh my gosh. I mean, the majors those two are taking with the biomedical engineering and, I mean, double majoring. It's really cool. I love when we get those softball players that, you know, I know people like laugh and roll their eyes with a student athlete, you know, tag sometimes, but truly student athletes who are using their scholarships and using their ability to play softball to better their lives. And these two are going to better our lives by in the medical field. Cause just amazing stuff. And then, you know, just getting some insight into how their brains work when they're up to bat, when they're in the pitching circle, is just really fun stuff. So I'm really glad we had them on together. It's perfect pairing. And honestly, I didn't know about their, you know, joint interest in the medical field. So that was really spontaneous. And I loved hearing about it.
Yeah, these players only segments, it's my favorite part, I think, of the podcast, and just hearing directly from them and their insight, especially during season. It's pretty spectacular. And to end this show, we're just going to give a preview of the weekend. We've got a few games on the docket. We've got the Big Ten. They're coming back down to Florida for their second weekend of play. We ask about, you know, Big Ten, and you think, oh my gosh, this is only their second weekend. But they're down in Florida, a few key matchups there. Then we've got Arizona against Florida State in a three-game series. Yes, three-game series. Ree, anybody else that you've got your eye on for the weekend?
Yeah, well, the SEC opens play this weekend. 10 of the teams open play. Not everyone, obviously, but and some of those key matchups, you got to keep an eye on Kentucky at Florida. Kentucky still undefeated, 19-0. And this will be their first ranked team, second Power 5 team that they've played. So this is going to be fun down there, down in the swamp in Florida. But, you know, they don't play on the football field, but still, I love calling Florida the swamp. So you got the in-state rivalries going on with Alabama and Auburn playing, then Ole Miss and Mississippi State. And then you got LSU coming here to Knoxville to play at Tennessee. So I always love when SEC play opens. They're doing the regular three game, either Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Those are the series. So those are a few of the SEC that's kicking off this weekend. We've had some SEC matches, but they didn't count in the standings. These count in the standings.
All right. So we'll have that weekend preview. It'll be out Friday morning. We'll have everything that you need to watch on the weekend. What you should keep your eyes on. We've also added stats to the website. That happened last week. So head on over to the site, find your favorite team, click stats, and you'll be able to find all the information on every single player in every single conference in Division One softball. We've also got our scoreboard. Don't forget, you can find out which teams are playing, when and where, and all times are Eastern on the website in the scoreboard. And we've also got an app. So if you are just running around doing housework, whatever you're doing, you can download the D1 Softball app and stay up to date on all games and scores of the day. Reet, anything to close the show? Any thoughts, final thoughts?
No, I mean, it's amazing. Just, I would, you know, with all that stuff, we have the stats, it's pretty cool. You can see everything, scoreboard, you know, really trying to make this a place where all softball fans can find anything they want. We're really trying to do our best to bring it to everyone, and would appreciate any support by subscribing, because the only way we can get coverage is if we get some subscribers. And the ones that have subscribed, thank you so much. It enables us to do our jobs, and it's fun, and we hope that you guys enjoy it, and we really, really would appreciate it if you subscribe and share and tell others so we can continue to cover this great sport.
Yes, and check out the notebooks, or the Power Five notebooks. We just posted the SEC notebook. We've got the ACC going to go, the Big 12 and the Pac-12 this week. So subscribe, like Reese said, and thank you for those that have subscribed. Happy week five. We've done it. We're in week five. Enjoy the games this weekend, and we will see you next week. Tara Henry for Reed Potke on the D1 Softball Podcast.